So we're going to continue with that this week. I said it would be a two-part series. We just talk about several things. But it was interesting. This past week, Elizabeth and I have been at our cabin. We have a cabin down in Rosebud. And it was a provision of the Lord, and we were very thankful for it. But we went down there last Sunday afternoon and stayed right through to Friday. And we had a little bit of a rest and a break, and it was wonderful. But on Monday afternoon, I spent several hours just reading the Word and meditating and trying to get thoughts together for today, for this morning. The theme that kept coming to me in what we're doing is walking by faith. And when I got these thoughts, I put them down in my notebook, and I felt, okay, I'm happy with the outline that I've got. I know where I'm going with that, and I'm focusing on the will of God. And I remembered that Brother Hagin, old Brother Hagin, he said, faith begins where the will of God is known. And so we had a good day on Monday. On Tuesday morning, when I woke up, and I'm an early person. I'm always up at 5 o'clock, but when we go away for a few days, I try not to get up quite so early. But on Tuesday morning, we woke up, and Elizabeth, she began to tell me, she says, oh, I was listening to Kenneth Copeland last night. She takes her iPad with her, and she listens to the programs day by day by day. And she said he was really, really interesting, and he talked about some very interesting things. And she said he was talking on his program yesterday, that was the Monday, about how many people have commented to him that he always preaches and talks about faith. So I got my notebook over and said, let me read you my introductory line for Sunday's message. Because I just sort of smiled out loud and said, over the years, a number of people have asked me why I preach and teach so much on faith. And, you know, it was exactly the same opening line that he had used. And Elizabeth watches him every day as we, no matter where we are, she's got her iPad and watching the programs. And that's wonderful. But over the years, you know, this has been the stable word that we've taught. And I guess the reason why I teach and talk about faith is twofold. Number one was the main thing that Jesus talked about. And number two, it works. It produces if we do the things that please God. You know, there's a lot of examples in the Word of God, and I could take you through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You know, you can, if you go down through, say, for example, in Matthew, get down to about chapter 8, you'll find in chapter 8 there's four or five places there where Jesus talks about faith. There's a centurion. He talks about great faith, the disciples who are in the boat, and they get afraid, and he says little faith. So there's a lot of instruction by the Lord Jesus about faith. But, you know, I thought, I just don't want to go through those things again, although they're good and they're wonderful. I want to put a little bit of something more into it today. And as I thought about it, I remembered that Hebrews 11, you all know Hebrews 11, 6, in the New Living Testament, this is what it says. It says, it's impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to him must believe that God exists and that he rewards those who sincerely seek him. Think about that for a moment. God rewards those who sincerely seek him. Now that translates into that God rewards those who walk by faith. Those who are walking by faith, they'll be rewarded. And I reckoned if Jesus could please the Father by a faith walk, then I could do that too. I can take this word and begin to share it, because God wants each one of us to grow progressively stronger in this walk that we have day by day. It's not just that you make it and that's it all done. No, it's a growing thing. When Esther was a baby, here she is. She'd be 8 years old in a couple of months. She's got counting down the days to the 29th of March. I'm counting down the days to the 30th of March. She says she's older than I am. Anyway, I remember when Esther was just a little baby. I remember holding her. Newborn baby, beautiful little girl. And here she is now, almost 8 years later. If Naomi was still having to change a nappy or treat her like a baby, she wouldn't have grown. She may have physically grown, but that was it. So too many Christians are still in the nappy stage. We have to grow up. We have to walk by this faith every day. Almost every week, we send out two newsletters by email every week. On a Wednesday, we send out our midweek faith booster, it's called. And on a Sunday, we send out our normality newsletter. Now, every week, I'm getting replies from people around the world, people in Africa and India, all around the world saying, oh, that was just what I needed to hear. That was perfect. Or, you know, commenting on how real it was to them, how it fitted their situation. But the point is, as they're getting these messages week by week, they're growing. One lady in Africa, I had an email from her. She contacted us probably 3 months ago. And if my memory serves me, her and her husband, and I think one other person were meeting in her little house. And she said, I'd got your one of your newsletters. And it really inspired us. And she says, we began to just take it and use it and preach it and talk it and do it. And the last email that I got from her, which was about a week ago, she said, there are now 24 of us, too many to meet in the house. We have to move out. We're holding the meeting under a mango tree. Why? Because faith, it's a growing walk. They're growing day by day. God spoke to Abraham. Listen to what he said. In Romans chapter 4, it says this, Romans 4:18, who, this is Abraham, contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. I'm talking to some of the descendants of Abraham this morning. You are the seed of Abraham. And there's so many examples in the Word of God about people who walked daily by faith. And it's just like Brother Hagin said, you do this thing because when you know what the will of God is, then you can follow through with this whole faith walk, if you like to put it that way. Faith begins not when you get up in the morning. It begins when you make a decision in your heart that you're going to walk by faith, you're going to please God, you're going to do the things that please Him. And you have to come to a place where you are being attentive to His Word. As Naomi said just a few minutes ago, you have to be listening to the Holy Spirit, not with these flappers on the side, but with the ears of your heart. You need to hear what God is saying. And even though the things that the Holy Spirit may be saying to you and directing you to do are contrary to natural thinking, you have to make a decision. I'm going to do it by faith. I'm going to do this faith walk because that's what God is wanting me to do. And you know, even though you can't see the Holy Spirit, even though you can't see God, you do see evidence of Him. But you have to come to a place where you realize that your security is in Him. Your security is not in your hip pocket or your bank account or your father or your mother or whoever it may be. It's not in your job. Your security is in God alone. And this is what walking by faith is all about. Now, there's a story, I'll just quickly mention it, in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 9. Let me read the verse to you. It says, this is a genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. That means to walk with God, you have to please Him. To please Him, you have to walk by faith. So Noah was walking by faith. Now, the name Noah means rest. Noah knew not only what his mission or his calling was, but he also knew who his source was. I mean, think about it. Here's Noah. He's out there in the desert. And God says, I want you to build a boat. He's never seen a boat. He's never seen the sea. He's never seen rain. He doesn't know anything about it. And God says, these are the instructions. Here's the description. I want it to be this size. And gives him how to. And he's out there building this boat in the middle of the desert, and all his neighbors are laughing at him. What a crazy old guy he is, building a boat, and they don't even know what a boat is. They've never seen one. But when the clouds start to darken, when the rain starts to come, and all the animals come in by God's inspiration, and you do know that they didn't just come two by two, you're aware of that. Some came by sevens. The song says the animals came in two by two. The unclean animals came in two by two. The clean animals came in by sevens. Why? Because they had to be sacrificed. And it has to be a clean sacrifice for God. So God closes the door to the ark. The rain's coming down. The people are outside. Noah, his wife, his sons, and their wives are all in the ark. They're safe in the ark. Jesus is your ark. You can be safe in Christ. This is why we teach this message about who we are in Christ. See, Noah knew God was his source. And when you come to the place where you know that God's your source, you're not concerned about taking the next step. You're not concerned about getting the hammer and nails and building the boat. You're obeying God. You're following through what the Holy Spirit is telling you to do. And even though the neighbors are laughing at you and calling you crazy, you still obey God. You still take this walk of faith. It's knowing God is your source. And I want to tell you something. When you come to that place and you know God is your source, it doesn't just happen overnight. This is something that happens as you develop the relationship. You develop the relationship by being on the mountaintop with God and being in the valley with God. He's the same God on the mountaintop as he is in the valley. You develop the relationship. You know, people get married. Elizabeth, we're married nearly 54 years this year. The relationship didn't happen the first day. You spend time together. Your relationship with God doesn't happen just because you say, well, I went to a meeting or I heard a message or I read something in the Bible. That's a start. But you've got to spend time on it. See, listen, time tests the quality of a relationship. That's something you might want to write down. Tell you it again. Time tests the quality of the relationship. See, sometimes people rush into marriage, but they've never developed the strength of the relationship. It's all on a whim, on a moment. Let's get married. It sounds like a good idea. We need to come to a place where you can be like the Apostle Paul, for example, in Acts chapter 20. He's an interesting character if you read about Paul, because he endured prison, shipwrecks, beatings, betrayal, hunger, disappointments. In Acts 20, 24, he says, none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. He's talking about the race. What's he talking about? His faith walk. Walking by faith, pleasing God. As I said earlier, there are lots of stories in the Bible about people like this. And there's another one I'll just mention to you. And it's in the Old Testament in Genesis chapter 5 and verse 24. A man called Enoch. It says, Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. Interesting when you start to read some of these stories, you know. Here's a man called Enoch. And every day, Enoch rose up with the sole purpose of pleasing God. Every day, his heart was, what can I do to please God? Now, in Hebrews 11 and verse 5, it says, by faith, Enoch was taken away, so he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. You can only please God by faith. So Enoch was a God pleaser. He was a faith walker. Now listen to me. Because he pleased God and walked by faith, God gave him his own little private rapture. He just took him. Why? Because God was pleased. Now let me ask you the question. How's your faith walk? Is God pleased with your faith walk now? Let's quickly look at Romans 8 for a moment. When I was starting to put all these thoughts together, you know, usually I send Chris a list of all the scriptures we're going to use. But because I had about four messages all sort of merging into one, I wasn't able to send him a list of scriptures. I said, I'm not really sure where I'm going. God knows where we're going, but I'm walking by faith and believing God. And so that's why you're not getting them on the screen this morning. But in Romans chapter 8 and verse 6, it says this, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now think about that. If your mind agrees with your spirit, you're being spirit-minded. If your mind agrees with your flesh, you're being carnally minded. This is why we need to walk by the Word every day so we become Word-minded. So we become faith-minded. So we become the people that God wants us to be. We do that by reading the Word, meditating on the Word, and listening to the Holy Spirit. Now let me take you to another verse in Matthew 12 and 35, the words of Jesus. He said, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. The words of Jesus. Let me read it to you again. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. You have to get God's word in your heart before you can bring it forth. It has to get into your heart, because whatever you put in your heart is eventually going to come out of your mouth. That's why Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Jesus said, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth is going to speak. If you have sickness in your body, and I know what that's about because, you know, I've had bouts of sickness over the years, so has Elizabeth, but you know what we've discovered? If you can get God's word on divine health in your heart, it'll soon manifest in your body. When you get it in your heart, you bring forth. How many of you remember a Korean man called Yonggi Cho? Okay. When Yonggi Cho came to Australia years and years and years ago, he had this phrase that he used. He talked about getting pregnant with a bicycle. I think he needed a bicycle. You have to get pregnant with your healing. Get it in your heart. Meditate on it. Let it become part of you. And as you walk by faith, guess what? It's going to manifest. See, this is why the devil is trying to keep you out of the Word. Because he knows when you get this Word in your heart, you can produce whatever you want. I'm going to say it again because I went over some of your heads. Yeah, I hear things in the Spirit. Oh, it's not that easy. That's okay for him. It doesn't work that way. Whatever you can get in your heart, the devil wants to keep it away from you, from the Word of God. Because he knows when you get this word in your heart, you can produce whatever the word says. I don't care what it is, it'll happen. It'll come. Health will come, finance will come, it all works. It all works the same way. Think about, I was mentioning Yonggi Cho. Okay, so he talked about you have to get pregnant with a bicycle. Yeah, if you're believing God for a house or a car or whatever, just start getting the word in. Get pregnant with it. And you'll bring it to birth. It'll happen. We've given away so many cars, it's amazing, really. When we first got married, we didn't have a car. and I bought a motorbike. So I used to ride a motorbike when I was a policeman, but I also rode a police motorbike as a policeman. So I had a police motorbike which I would ride on duty, but then I had a private motorbike, which I, a Triumph Speed Twin, Russell's a motorbike fan, Triumph Speed Twin. And when Elizabeth was pregnant with our first child, I mean, she's probably almost 9 months, 8 months and five or six, almost there, I had her on the back of the motorbike. And our neighbor wasn't happy. Elizabeth seemed quite happy, but anyway. So what am I saying? I'm saying I started off with a little old motorbike. Well, it wasn't a little, it was a 500 speed twin. And then we had to believe for a car, and then another car, and then, you know, and all over the years, we've gone from a Mini to a Volkswagen to this and to that, and eventually we ended up with a Jaguar. Before we left Ireland, we had a 3.8-liter Jaguar, which we then gave that away. Oh, and we had an MG as well. And we gave them all away. When we came here, we started off with an AP6, I think it was, a Valiant AP6. And then we got a Volkswagen, then we got a Volkswagen bus, and then we got a Volkswagen camper. Now we have a Mercedes. We just keep giving them away. But you see, the point I'm making is just you have to get it inside, and then it begins to manifest. See, if you don't walk by faith, if you don't think about the Word of God and meditate in it day by day, it won't happen. People don't spend enough time thinking about the Word and meditating in it for the manifestation to come. How many of you know about the prodigal son? Prodigal son, what a wonderful story. Think about him for a moment. As long as he had pig pen mentality, he stayed in the pig pen. The story says that he was eating the husks that the swine ate. Now, if you do a little bit of study, you'll find that the husks were the shells of the carob beans, and there's no sustenance in them at all. So he's eating this the slop, if you like, that the pigs are slopping through. But you know, he comes to a point where he begins to realize that he's not pleasing God. He's taken his inheritance, he's wasted it, he's done all of those things. So he starts to remember. First of all, he remembers, my father's life is better than this. I've wasted it. So he remembers. Then the next thing he does is he repents. Right there in the pig pen. He repents. And then he renews his thinking. He says, I'm not satisfied with this slop that I'm eating. My father's servants eat better than I'm eating. He said, I know, I'm going to go back to my dad. I'm going to go back to my father, I'll just repent and say, Father, look, I've mucked it up, I've made a mess, I'm sorry, forgive me. Just make me one of your servants, and I'll be happy to be a servant, and I'll serve you for the rest of my life. And once he did that, he began to get a vision of his father's abundance. He began to get a vision of his place as a rightful son and heir. And when he started coming back, the story says, when he was yet a long way off, the father was already out there watching for him. He was looking for his boy coming back. His brother wasn't all that happy about it, but he decided the pig pen living wasn't for him, and he was going to go back to walking by faith. Faith in his father's provision. He came to the father. The father says, this my son was lost and is found, was dead and is alive. Bring out the fatted calf, bring out the best robe, bring out the ring, put him back in his place where he ought to be. He's not going to be a servant. Listen to me. God doesn't see you as a servant. I've lost count of the number of times we've been at conferences, and I've been introduced. Oh, we're so happy to have this wonderful servant of God with us today. First thing I say is, stop. I'm not a servant, I'm a son. I'll serve you, but I'm a son of God. I'm not a servant. I'm a son of the living God. The Father provided provision, money, clothes, food, had a party, all, you know, oh, wonderful. Like the prodigal son, I think some of us need to remember and repent and renew our mind and return to God. Start walking by faith again. Listen to John 8 and verse 12. It says, Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. You heard a little bit about this earlier. Naomi was talking about it. I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. Light of life. What is this walk that Jesus is talking about? He's talking about a faith walk. Romans 8 and 1, interesting verse again. Romans 8 and 1 says, there's therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. In other words, those who are on the faith walk, there's no condemnation to them. And just as your eye is the organ through which you can see light and you can rejoice in that light, so faith is also the power of God through which you see the light of God and you can walk in that light. Because if you walk in the light, you'll not be in darkness. I started out this morning talking about Abraham, who's the father of the faithful, father of all those who are of the faith. God promised him if he believed and walked by faith, then his descendants would be blessed. You and I are blessed because Abraham walked by faith. In Genesis 17, verse 1 and 2, it says this, when Abram, that was Abram before he became Abraham, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am Almighty God, walk before me and be blameless, and I will make my covenant with you and will multiply you exceedingly. God says, walk before me and be blameless. What's he saying? Walk by faith. Believe my word. Do what I tell you. Walk before me and be blameless. That's a faith walk. We need to be walking before God, and we are blameless because of what Jesus has done. Jesus made this statement in Mark 9 and 23. If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Believers are those who walk by faith. All things are possible to those who walk by faith. Listen to me. Possibility is the power of the faith walk. I'll say it again. Possibility is the power of the faith walk. Now, every one of us in this room today, at some time or other, we've probably faced a crisis of some sort, relationships, finance, health, whatever it is. All these things happen to all of us at times when we get off the faith walk. But you see, I've discovered where the principles of faith are taught, the spirit of faith can be caught. Where the principles of faith are taught, the spirit of faith can be caught. Because I think it was Mark Hankins who said that faith is contagious. You can catch faith. See, this is what we're talking about. I guess probably everybody here this morning agrees that this is the Bible, this is the Word of God. We say it, oh yes, we agree with that. But sometimes our actions, our walk is not according to what we say we believe. We have to be a doer of the Word, not a hearer only. When you leave this place today, you need to have made a decision that you're not just going to mentally agree with it, but you're actually going to act on it. You're going to do something about it. You're going to be what God wants you to be. 2 Corinthians 5:7, remember we started last week with that scripture? It says we walk by faith and not by sight. When things are happening and difficulties are occurring, you have to decide, I'm going to walk by faith. If you're going to talk faith, you have to walk faith. If you're going to be a person, oh yes, I'm a faith person, I go to Family Faith Center, yeah. But you've got to walk it out. It has to be something that is your experience day by day by day. See, faith is really standing against what you see when you know what God says is different. All right, try that again, because faith is standing against what you can see or feel or sense, if you like, when you know this is different. When you know God's word is different. See, your body's saying, oh, you have this pain. I have, you know, my toe, my knee, my whatever it is. Okay, that is true. You can't deny that. But this is the truth. By the stripes that went on the back of Jesus, we were healed. We're talking about walking by faith. Taking God's word instead of the circumstances. Taking God's word instead of the pain. Taking God's word instead of what the bank account is saying. God expects us to be wise in all of those things. Smith Wigglesworth, what a wonderful old man he was. For a plumber, he was exceptional. But this is what he said. I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm only moved by what I believe from the Word of God. I'm not moved by what I see, not moved by what I feel. I'm only moved by the Word of God. So if you're going to talk faith, you're going to have to walk faith too. You're going to have to walk it out. Andrew Womack made this statement. He says, the effectiveness of your faith is directly proportional to your acknowledgement of the good things that are in you in Christ Jesus. Or Philemon, I think it is. Philemon, isn't it? Verse 6. I think you'll find it there. The effectiveness of your faith is directly proportional to your acknowledgement of the good things that are in you in Christ Jesus. Say this as we close. Two things. The Bible is not supposed to make sense. It's to make faith. If you walk by faith, you will always reach the right destination. You understand what I'm saying? Now, this is part two of this little two-part series. So take it to heart today. Receive it. Walk in it. Believe God. And let's do it. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord God. All right, Father, we'll do that. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Reflux. Someone's had a problem with, you know, reflux. Is that what they call it? Coming back up again. I'll pray for you right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Pavarashini mosa tarabunda badabaduki. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Elizabeth. Naomi, lay your hand on. Here we are. Father, right now, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the anointing. And Father, it's the anointing that destroys the yoke. It's the anointing that does all of these things. So Father, as we just lay hands on Marie right now, we speak into her digestive system all the way down. Whatever the problem is, Lord, I don't know. You do. You brought it up. So I'm just being your vessel today. As we touch her in the name of Jesus, we say, be healed totally. No more problem in this area. Total and complete healing all the way down through the throat, all the way down through the chest, right down the esophagus. All that area, Father. Now, everything that needs doing, we call it done, and we walk by faith in it, irrespective of what the body says. We thank you for it. We give you the praise in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now receive it all, Marie. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Russell. You want to come and finish?